ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. إخواتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله this is going to be another session from the sittings of the explanation of the book منهج السالكين للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. Still on zakah. The Shaykh رحمه تعالى says, وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ دَيْنٌ وَمَالٌ لَا يَرْجُو أُجُودَهُ كَالَّذِي عَلَى مُمَاطِلٍ أَوْ مُعْصِرٍ لَا وَفَاءَ لَهُ فَلَا زَكَاةَ فِيهِ. Inshallah, this is going to be on debt. On debt, that is D-E-B-T, debt, on debt. If somebody is being owed by another person and the debt has lasted for a whole year, is this debatable or not? This is what the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, wants to explain to us here. وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ دَيْنٌ. So whoever has debt, وَمَالٌ, or money, لَا يَرْجُ أُجُودَهُ, doesn't hope that it will be available, كَالَّذِي عَلَى مُمَاطِلٍ, like the one on Mumatil. Al-Mumatil is the one who delay the payment of his debt. Somebody who is paying us and the person is delaying the debt, this is a Mumatil, particularly when he has the ability to pay. So they call the person a Mumatil. Our mu'asirin, mu'asir is one who is impoverished, the one who is in a stretching condition, doesn't have money to pay. La wafa'ala, but cannot pay, cannot fulfill his promise. فَلَا زَكَاةَ فِيهِ, there is no zakah on such debt. We explained in the previous lessons that if somebody has an amount that is up to nisab and a year goes on it, one will have to pay the zakah. Either the person is keeping the money in his house, or maybe the money is kept in the bank, or maybe the money is kept with another person. What is established is that the person has money and he can get the money anytime. Then a year goes on it and the money is up to nisab, then he has to pay the zakah. The money kept in the bank, as some of us will say, that we are saving money in the bank, In actual sense, the money that you give to a bank is not saving according to the Sharia. When you give money to the bank, you are loaning the bank. And that is why when the bank trades with the money, or the bank loans the money to a third party, and the bank gives you something of the interest, it is not permissible for you to take it, because it is considered a loan. And when you loan somebody in Islam, you don't take any benefit from that. And that is why we have it. كُلُّ قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا فَهُوَ رِبَا. Any loan that attracts نَفْعًا, any agreed upon benefit, then فَهُوَ رِبَا. This is riba, it's considered to be riba. So if you loan somebody and that fetches you a profit that has been agreed upon by both of you, then this is what is riba. However, if the person, the borrower, if he willingly gives you something without you requesting, without it being a norm, then there is nothing wrong in this. And the evidence for that is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam borrowed a camel and paid with a better one. But if the nafr is nafr mashroot, a benefit that is agreed upon between the lender and the borrower, then in this case it is riba. So going back to the money kept in the bank, we said Islamically, the money you keep in the bank is not that you are saving money for the bank, or you are asking the bank to keep the money for you. Rather, you are loaning the bank. Why are we loaning the bank? Or why is it considered as a loan to the bank? This is because the bank uses the money. And once you use something that is kept with you, you have violated a trust. You have betrayed a trust. But what we say that the owners of this money, they are aware that the bank is making use of their money. Then the scholars say if that is the case, if the owners of the money are aware that the banks are making use of their money, then that becomes what? It becomes corruption. It becomes a loan. And that is why the bank will have to pay back if anything happens to the money. Unlike in the case of Wadia, that he is a trust. If a trust is affected without any negligence on the part of the one with whom the trust is kept, then there is no paying back. So what we are trying to say in essence is that whether you keep the money at home or you give it to somebody else to keep for you, or you loan the money to a bank, or you loan the money to an individual, what we should consider first is that, are you likely to get the money when you request for it? If you are likely to get the money from those people that are owing you, then you have to pay the zakah, as we shall explain inshallah in detail. But if you are not likely to get the money, is something that you have lost hope, for instance, getting the money. So in this case, the Sheikh says, وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ دَيْنٌ. So whoever has a debt with people or with a person, وَمَالٌ, and money, لَا يَرْجُوا أُجُودَ, which he does not hope to get, كالذي على مماطل, like the one forged by a mumatil, that is somebody who is delaying the payment of the debt. He has, but doesn't want to give. And this is a very bad attitude on the part of some people. When they are indebted to other persons, they deliberately delay the money. That's the fact that they know that their lender or their loaner is in need of that money. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is angry with such a person. That is the one who does mumatala, that is delaying the debt, despite the fact that he has the ability to pay. However, as far as zakah is concerned, so if somebody that is owing is a mumatil, if somebody does not want to pay, he has, so such a person is a zalim, as the Prophet has said, matul ghaniyyi zulm, the one who has and he delays the payment of his debt, his zulm is injustice. Injustice to the extent that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let us know that yuhillu irdahu wa uqubata, when the one who is the lender speaks ill of him, that is, he complains him to people. It is permissible in the Sharia to complain to people that so and so person refuses to pay me my money. This is not riba. Yuhillu irdahu wa uqubata. And such a person can be punished by the authority for delaying the money that is owing somebody, despite the fact that he has the ability to pay. But as far as zakah is concerned, the owner is not compulsory on him to pay zakah, because the money is not there to pay zakah. A year has gone on the money, but where is the money? The money is with somebody that he is procrastinating, somebody that he is deferring. He said, today I'll pay you, tomorrow, next tomorrow, like that. And the person won't pay till years go on this. So there is no zakah on it on a yearly basis. So according to what most scholars are offering. However, if the person eventually gets this money, if the person eventually gets the money, maybe eventually pays the money, what about the zakah of those years, for instance, maybe 2 years, 3 years that have passed on the money? Some scholars are of the opinion that he has to pay zakah for each year. He has to pay zakah for each year. Why some scholars are of the opinion that no, he has to pay just zakah of 1 year. Yes, several years have passed on the money, but he's unable, or he was unable to get the money. So let him pay zakah of just 1 year. This is the favored opinion of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. Some scholars have the opinion that no, there is no zakah on it at all. Unless if the person decides to keep the money, maybe with himself, or he keeps it somewhere else, then a ojri goes on it. Then the normal zakah at one place, when a ojri goes on one's way, it will be paid. This is also a view favored by a lot of scholars. So when we go by what the Sheikh says here, وَمَا كَانَ لَهُ دَيْنٌ وَمَا لُنْ لَا يَرْجُ وُجُودًا. So whoever is being owed a debt, or is wet, is with somebody, and he does not hope to get it, الَّذِي عَلَى مُمَاطِلٍ, that the wet that's with somebody who is a mumatil, who deliberately delays the payment of one's debt, or somebody who is in a stretching condition, somebody who is impoverished. And if somebody is impoverished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ كَانَ لُعُسْرَةٍ فَنَظَرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. If somebody is ذُعُسْرَة, somebody who is in a stretched condition, فَنَظَرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ, he said the creditor should give him a respite till the person is able of the money with which he will pay him. This is part of the adab of Islam, the akhlaq of Islam. Somebody is owing you, and you know genuinely that the person doesn't have. And not that the person has been negligent, the person has misused your words. The person is owing you genuinely, and the person finds himself in a stretched condition. In that case, but somebody who dupes you, for instance, or he collects money from you that he is going to introduce you to a business, or you're paying for something and the person deliberately betrays you, this is not applicable to him. So such a person will fall under somebody that you say is a zalim. So if somebody genuinely is indebted to you and the person is incapacitated, what is good for us is to give the person respite. In fact, if we can overlook it for him, that will be something that is good. So if the person is a mu'sir, la wa fa'ala, that is unable to pay, فَلَا زَكَاتَ فِيهِ, there is no zakah on it. وَإِلَّا فَفِيهِ الزَّكَاتِ. So if the person is able to pay, then فَفِيهِ الزَّكَاتِ, فَفِيهِ الزَّكَاتِ, so there is zakah on it. So meaning if somebody is owing you, and the person is somebody who is mali, somebody who is affluent, somebody who has, anytime you ask the person to give you your money, he would readily give you. So there's no difference between you keeping the money at home or the person is with the person. Likewise, your money in the bank, for instance, anytime you ask them to give you your money, they give you your money. As we said earlier, that your money with the bank is a loan. You are loaning the bank. It's not a trust like that. So because the bank makes use of the money, and you know that they make use of the money, so that is covered. So in a situation like this, if a year goes on that money, and the money is up to nisab, then you have to pay the zakah. As we have always said, that the nisab, according to most scholars, presently, they prefer the silver standard. The principle is apna nisabain. Since the gold and the silver standard, they are not the same now as they used to be. So the qarar of the Majami Fiqhiyya of the Fiqh Academies is that we should go for the apna nisabain, the lesser of the two nisab. And the lesser of the two nisab presently is the silver. So which, if we look it with Nigerian currency, this is around 105,000, 4,000 or more or less, it depends, because the prices of silver fluctuate. So somebody who has a person who is indebted to him, maybe he loans a person, less 150,000 naira, and the year has gone on that 150,000 naira with the person. Or he invests his money in a business, and the year has gone on that. Maybe in an investment company or so, he has shares in a company, and the shares, and we look at the watch, this is watch, is up to nisab. Though this is not a loan, But since you have money somewhere, and the money is something you can get, for instance, or it has a time that you get the money. So if a year goes on it, you have to pay 2.5% of this money, which is that, which is Robo Larushi, which is 1/40, 2.5% of each. So, and this is what makes us talk about the issue of those who are having shares in companies. So we know that you have to pay the zakah. Though most companies, Allah musta'an, they are not qualified to be invested in, so to say, or to buy shares from them according to the majamif here, because most of these companies, they borrow money from the banks with riba. So, and when you borrow money, when a company borrows money, the board of the directors, for instance, borrow money from the bank, it's like you share the shareholder, you are the one borrowing. And you know you cannot borrow money with interest to do trade. So this is the reason why it is not something that is encouraged to buy shares in most of these companies, because they are less concerned whether they get money from halal source or it is through riba. So likewise, what has to do with the pension, so to say. So some people, the company they are working with, maybe a state, they take some money from them on a monthly basis, and this money will be kept and possibly invested in some things. Maybe at the time of the retirement of the person, this will be given to him with the additional whatever. Now, mostly the aspect of maybe what was accrued on each, whether it is invested in halal or haram thing, that's a different thing. But the principal is being taken from the person. So by the time the person is given that, this is considered like what? Like a gain. So it's like the company is owing him, for instance, or keeping the money. So when they get this money, they have to pay 2.5% of the principal. Now, when we look if what the money has been invested in is something that is halal, then they pay 2.5% of everything. But when that thing is not halal, they take that away, but the principal, they pay 2.5% of it. And this is how we relate with the zakah of the pension. This is how we relate with the zakah of the pension. So this is something that is important. Now, when we say we pay zakah on the wealth, at times it may be the one who is also owing somebody. Now you are being owed. What if you are owing somebody? What if you are the one that is the borrower? Now, well, if you are the borrower and you have money that is up to any sub, but you are owing people, in this case, most of us have the opinion that you pay your debt and whatever is left, if it is still up to any sub, that is after a year, you pay your debt. If what you have is still up to any sub, then you pay the 2.5% of it. If it is gold or silver or the currencies, or maybe a rodu tijara, you pay the 2.5% of it. So this is the accord al-amwalu al-batina. Al-amwalu al-batina. They refer to gold, silver, and the urudu tijara, things that you said, they refer to this as Lamwalu and Baapina. So the currencies, Naira, Dollar, Pound Sterling and the likes, they fall under Al-Amwal Al-Batina. They are Batina in that the individual can pay and kick out his account himself. It does not necessarily entail that the authority will come and take it from you. Unlike Al-Amwal Al-Zahira. Al-Amwal Al-Zahira, these are the livestock, like the cow, the camel, the sheep, goat, so likewise the farm produce. These ones are in a situation where you have the government, the Islamic government, they will send out the musaddiqun, that is those people who come, that will come and take the zakah from you. So they will send them out to take the zakah from you because the al-amwalu al-zahira. So, and that's why scholars, they will tell us that when some people say okay, they are taking zakah on behalf of people, as we shall explain later, inshallah. So, who sent them out to take zakah on behalf of people? If they are doing that on behalf of the Muslim government, that is, it is the Muslim government that has sent them out, so these people, they are the musaddiqun, they are the amiluna alayha. But if they decide to send themselves, it is not the government, the Islamic government, that has established them. They want to do it by themselves. So they are not representing the government. They are representing the mutasaddiqun, that is, those people who are given the zakah. So they are representing al-muzakun, not the government. And that's why if anybody gives his zakah to a body, for instance, not set up by the government itself, that is a government that doesn't deliver things to the government, a body that decides how to distribute the zakah by itself, that body is representing those who are paying zakah. If anything happens to the zakah along the line, it's like the person that pays the zakah hasn't paid, because the body is a wakil for the muzakki, is a representative for the muzakki. So, and that's why it is wrong for a body to decide by themselves that okay, we are going to take the portion of the amiluna alayha. These the scholars, they keep against it. Contrary to what some organizations will do today, that they take money and what they put in their pockets. And why you ask them, if you ask them why, they say we are what? Al-amiluna alayha. So this is wrong. So if at all they are not doing that thing, free of charge, that is only expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they should tell the one who they are representing that you have to ask something, and that is going to be what our fee, so to say, for assisting you in distributing the zakah. So this is the way it is. So if you are the one that is owing people, you are the one owing people, not that you are being owed now. If al-amwalu zahira, that is the farm produce, the livestock, is what is involved, a lot of scholars, the jumhur of the scholars, they said in this case, you don't need to take your debt. That is, it is not a must that when the muzakkun, those representing the government, come and they see what you have, you won't tell them that what I'm owing people. No, it's what they see that they take zakah on. Because it was never reported that the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that will take zakah from people, they will ask people, are you indebted or not? However, if it is amwalu baatina, like the gold, like the silver, the urudu tijara, for instance, so they will not, that is left to you. So you can decide to pay your debt, because this, you are the one that is going to give it out. It's not a must that you take it to the government. and it's not a must that the government sends somebody to come and pick it from you. But if they don't, if they do, no harm. And if you send it to the government, no harm. But with respect to Alamuanu Batina, like the car of gold, silver, and the currencies that are in place of them now, that of Urodi Tijara, so you are free to decide who to give your zakah. Contrary to that of the farm produce, that of the livestock, that they will send people to come and take it. But in the absence of such thing, then one will have to give it out by oneself. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that the gemurah of the scholars, they differentiate between wealth that are zohira, that are apparent. You say the apparent ones are the livestock, the farm produce. In this case, what the people need is what they pay zakat on. Unlike that of the amwalu batina, gold, silver, and the currencies that you spend today, so you can decide to keep your to pay your debt. Then whatever is left, if it is up to nisab, then you pay the zakat. Or whatever is left, maybe you are adding to something else, like the urudu tijara that you have, as we have explained. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, as al-Imam Malik rahmahullahu ta'ala recorded in his book Al-Muwatta, and this is also in some other books of Ahadith. Uthman bin Affan will say, هذا الشهر زكاتكم. This is the month of your zakah. A lot of scholars have said Uthman meant by شهر زكاتكم, the month of Ramadan. فمن كان عليه دين, whoever is indebted, فليؤدي دينه, he should pay his debt. فليؤدي دينه, he should pay his debt. حتى تأصل أموالكم, so that your wealth, that is the money that you have, will be free of debt. تخرجون أو تؤدون من زكاة أموالكم, and from each you are going to pay the zakah of your wealth. So this is reported by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. So the jumhur of the scholars, they use this as evidence to justify the fact that one who has gold, silver, or the currencies that stand in their place today, should pay the debt that is owing. Then whatever is left, if it is up to nisab, after a year, as we said, it will pay the zakah. And whatever is left, if it is not up to nisab, that means there is no zakah on it, unless if he has a urudu tijara, for instance, that he can hajj the money to perform a nisab, as we have explained in the previous lesson. Likewise, they use the fact that it was not reported that the companions will ask people which is toward the sea of their livestock or the farm produce. So they will not ask them, take your debt. Have you taken your debt? No, they just take zakah. To say what? If one is indebted and one has livestock, he has, take for instance, 40 sheep, he has, for instance, 5 camels or 30 cows. All these, we know they are zakatable on their own. So if a year goes on this animal, when the muzakun, the musaddiqun came, so when they come, they will not ask the people, have you paid your debt? No, they are less concerned about that. What they see is what they take. But the one that has to do with the hidden wealth, as we call it, that is the silver, gold, and what stand in their place today. So in that case, they will say it is compulsory on him to take the pay the debt, unless if the person that is indebted to is not in need of the money at that time. But if the person is indebted, that is in debt country is in need of that money, then he has to pay at that time. So this is the view of majority of the scholars. However, some scholars are of the opinion that there is no zakah generally on once you are indebted, once you are indebted to a person. So whether Zohira or Batina is what you have, so you have to clear the debt. Some scholars are of the opinion that you don't need to consider debt at all. You don't need to consider debt at all. And this is the favorable opposition of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. Likewise, Sheikh Ibn Baz, that you don't need to, that debt has nothing to do with zakah. What the year goes on is what you are going to pay zakah on. You are indebted, you are not indebted. If you know that you don't want to pay full zakah, you should have taken your debt. You should have paid your debt before a year goes on. Since you didn't pay your debt till a year goes on it, then that is your fat work. So a year has gone on it. So it's just like a child that is not yet valid, that has not reached the age of puberty. So the zakah of his wealth will be paid, despite the fact that what? He has not reached puberty. And the same person that has wealth, if a year goes on it, his zakah will be paid. So this is the view of some scholars, as we said. So why some are of the opinion that no, zakah does not, once one is indebted, you are free, even if you allow a year to go on it. When you want to talk about the zakah, that you are supposed to, of the way that you are supposed to pay, then your debt should be taken care of first, then it is what is left that you pay zakah on. So, but to be on the safe side, if you know you are indebted to a person, make sure you pay your debt before a year goes on your wealth. Because if a year goes on your wealth, if it is malum voir, then we know what the Jumhur have said. If it is malum batin, they are still of the opinion that you can take it. If it is malum batin, so they said what you should take it, you should pay the debt. And what is left is what you pay zakah on. So, however, there are those who say there is no zakah, that is not considered. So I think this is the view of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, and some others. So be on the safe side, let us pay the debt before a year goes on our wealth, that is zakatim. Before a year goes on our wealth, that is zakatim. So this is on zakah of debt and things that are related. So likewise, we'd like to speak on zakah of the khuli, that is the ornaments, the jewelries. We've talked about this before, that is, we just mentioned it in past, that when you have gold and silver, you have to pay the zakah. You have to pay the zakah. But what if the gold or the silver is meant for adornment? A woman has this in order to adorn herself. Not that she's selling it, nor she's what she's spending it. If she's selling it, that becomes urudu tijara. If she's spending it, so it becomes what? Samaniya. But no, this is an adornment. This is an adornment. So is it zakatable or not? Or is zakat due on it? According to majority of the scholars, there is no zakat on jewelries of gold and silver that are meant for adornment of their owners. So these are just like cows or houses that are built, that are meant for the personal use. We talked about the kind of livestock, the one who has a livestock, but the livestock are meant for maybe to be used on the farms. They are not to be sold, and they are not open that are like just like that. So in that case, so there is no zakah on it, because they are meant for personal use, as we have explained when we are talking about urudu al-qinla. So a lot of scholars, they said the same thing is applicable to the jewels of gold and silver. So if they are meant for personal use, then there is no zakah on them. So, and this is the view of Aisha radiallahu anha, as Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala recorded in Muwatta. But Aisha radiallahu anha had some orphans, some orphan girls on her that had gold, that had gold ornaments of gold. And Aisha will not pay zakah on them. Whereas she will pay zakah on the wealth of the yatim, that is of the orphan that was with her. As we said, a small boy, if he has wealth that a year has gone on, for instance, he has money that he has gone on, he will have to pay zakah. Despite the fact that the boy is not religiously responsible, or the guy is not religiously responsible. So this is also recorded in Muwatta of Imam Malik. But for Aisha radiallahu anha, not to pay zakah on jewelries of gold and silver on behalf of those girls that were under her, or from the gold, the gold ornament of those girls under her, shows that what she doesn't see zakah in them. So this is also established from Abdullah bin Umar, established from Anas radiallahu anhu, from Jabir. So about his companions, so they are of the opinion that there is no zakah on this. So, and this is the view of majority of the scholars. This is the view of Imam Ahmad, Al-Imam Shafi'i, Al-Imam Malik. Abu Hanifa is of the opinion that there is zakah on the ornaments of gold and silver. There is zakah on the ornament of gold and silver. Why? He said the general case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِذُونَ ذَعْبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَيْنْفِكُونَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاؤُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. So this verse is general. This verse is general. So, and as it is established, that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that مَا أُدِّيَ زَكَاتُهُ فَلَيْسَ بِكَنْزٍ. Anything that you pay the zakah, this is not a treasure. Once you pay the zakah, it's not a treasure. Meaning it doesn't fall under this verse. So, but we say that Abdullah bin Umar of Allah, it is established from him that he will not pay zakah on the jewelry. That is, he gave the fatwa that there is no zakah on what? On jewelry. Likewise, the Jumhur they use as evidence. Sorry, the minority, the Abu Hanifa and those who take the position, use as evidence that a woman came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a baby, and on the hand of the baby there was a kind of bangles of gold. So, and Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the lady, "Atwa dina zakata? Do you pay the cost of this bamboo?" So to say. And the lady said, "No." And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, "Ayasuruki ayusawiraki Allahu bi ima siwarayni min nar, will you be happy if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you in place of these two bangles of hellfire? So and the woman was said to have watched, taken off the ornaments, and thrown it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and said, "Huma lillahi wa rasuli." Both of them are for Allah and His Messenger. So this hadith, scholars differ on the authenticity. Some say the hadith is not authentic. So the minority say this hadith shows that what is zakah on what? On huli zahab wal fidda. There is zakah on the ornament of gold and silver. Those jumhur, the majority of the scholars who say there is no zakah on it, some say the hadith is not authentic. Some said, let's assume that the hadith is authentic. So this can be the zakah that you are talking about. Because when we look at the bangles, for instance, is it possible that the bangles, the two bangles worn by the girl, so to say, were often stopped in the 5 grand? So this is something that is far-fetched. So maybe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about ordinary sadaqah, not the zakah of the zakah of gold that we know. So, and that's why it is said that Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said that zakatuhu ariyatuhu, that is what did the zakah is when somebody also give it to some people, or one lend some people to also wear it. If one lend some people to wear it, that is zakah of the jewelries. Maybe you lend your sister to wear it, so you are paying the zakah. So this is said by Imam Ahmad, as some of the scholars have reported from him. So they also use as evidence, I mean the minority, that of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, that she said that unto Allah's awdaha min tahbin. So I was putting on some ornaments of gold, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it and said, "What to adina zakata? Do you pay the zakat of this?" And she said, "What? No." Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whatever the zakat is paid is not kanz. Ma odia zakatu falisa bikanz. So they said this is also evidence, because it was said that this is enough for you as we keep in the yard. So they use this as evidence. Likewise, similar thing is reported from Aisha radiallahu anha. Now that of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Jumhur said the report that Aisha radiallahu anha was putting on something of a warit of silver. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, "Do you pay this zakat?" And she said, "No." So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is what is not fair for you." So if Aisha, if it is authentic from Aisha, she would not have contradicted it by not paying the zakah of the orphans, the two girls on the earth. So this is a very serious difference of opinion among the scholars. Now it is ascribed to Abu Bakr, Umar, and some others that they are of the opinion that there is zakah on the jewelries of gold and silver. The jewelries of gold and silver. So the ones that are not gold and silver, there is no zakah on them. But we are talking about the ones that are of gold and silver, that is zakah on them or not. There is difference of opinion, serious difference of opinion. So among the contemporary scholars who are of the opinion that there is zakah on the jewelries, Sheikh Bumbaz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani, and many others like that. And many others. So, wallahu alam, the matter is a matter that still needs more studying. Though my present position is that I go with those who hold on to the general text. But, you know, when you have about 5 companions holding a position, though there are other companions who are such to have a contrary position, though the asar ascribed to them still need verification. So for those ones from those companions, so are what the jumhur of the scholars be rely on. So when we see some scholars saying there is no zakah on the jewelries of gold and silver, we should know where they are coming. That is jewelries of gold and silver that is being worn by the owner. If the owner is not wearing them, then there is zakah on them. There is zakah on them. If the owner is not wearing them, is not lending people to wear them. So there is zakah on them. Or maybe the owner is selling them, then the law for rudu tijara will be applicable in this circumstance. So it is important that we understand this. So we also talked about zakah of salary, which calls zakah to jur wa rawatib. So this we said, some scholars have said there is zakah on each, based on what the scholars call al-mal al-mustafat, that is money that is gotten, money that is gotten, maybe just gotten anytime, apart from the normal zakah that you pay. Take for instance somebody loses his father, and the father or the mother that he has lost, they leave a bequest. And the share of the bequest is something that is huge. So this is Malo Mustafaj. So some scholars, as we say, that this was ascribed to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, that a person should watch, should pay if the money is up to nisab. Despite the fact that he hasn't gone on it, but he should do something. So this, we said, is also ascribed to Muawiyah, to Abu Bakri, to Abdullah ibn Abbas, but all these are not authentic. They are not authentic. So what is established from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, as his son Salih also established from his father in the Masail, that is Masail of Salih, the son of Imam Ahmad, that his father said, which is the word that is gotten along the line, that there is no zakah on it, unless if it is kept and a year goes on it, and it is up to nisab, then one will have to pay zakah normally. Unless if the money gotten along the line is something that is a product, so to say, is a profit from existing money, that is, we are putting it backwards for Rudu Tijara. And this we have talked about. So as a salary earner, for us to say we are comparing his words towards Al-Malik Mustafa, so for this reason, the person will often pay zakah on it on a monthly basis as long as what is earning up to nisab. Like for instance, somebody who earns 200,000 naira, or let's say he earns 300,000 naira every month. And we know the nisab of zakah is of silver that we have taken now is around or 100,000 naira. So maybe he spends every month, he spends something like 150,000 naira. So the main 150,000 naira is what? He's keeping it. So according to these people, they will say we'll have to pay zakah on it. He will have to pay zakah on it. Though they differ among themselves, some said he should pay 10% of each, some said he should pay 2.5%, some say 5%. So but what a lot of them are saying is you pay 2.5% of this amount of money, since after taking what will be enough for him, he's still going to keep about 120,000 naira, for instance. He spends 180,000 naira, or he spends 150,000 naira. So he's still going to keep about 150,000 naira, and this 150,000 naira is not finished up. So it is Malu Mustafa, it's something that he just gets in that month. So he has to pay 2.5% of each. This, however, is contrary to the view of the majority of the scholars, who said Ibn Qudama in his book Al Mughni knocked this. Umun ibn Abdul Barr knocked saying there is zakah on Mal Mustafa. There is no zakah on Mal Mustafa. And this is established from the hadith, from the Asar of Abdullah ibn Umar. فَلَا زَكَاةَ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَحُولَ عَلَيْهِ الهول عند ربه. So whoever gets a money, there's no zakat on that money until a year goes on age with the owner. So, and this is what the scholars, the jumhur of the scholars over Aegis, this is what they uphold. So, when we say scholar is Malu Mustafa, fine. So, yeah, it has to go on it. So, let's assume that the one who has kept the 150,000 naira out of the 300,000 naira, which he spends 150,000, he keeps 150,000. 150,000 naira is kept and the year goes on each, then you'll have to pay zakat on each. The following month, the one he keeps the following month, if he allows a year to go on that again, like that. But before a year goes on it, there is no zakat on it. So, and this is the correct view. And this is what the fiqh academies are upon. Now, I said last time that it is funny that you have some people who are always saying, whether the money is up to the sob or not, you have to pay zakat on it. So just like the Christians would do that, you have to give pay the tithe of a thing. So without considering what is the sub, no. There is the sub. Even those who are saying there is zakat on what? On our salary. They talk about the sub. They talk about the sub. And they talk about if what you have after you have taken care of your needs, your necessary needs. So if what you have left is up to the sub, this is what they are talking about. So contrary to what some people are saying, over here in Nigeria, that you have what? You have to pay 2% of your salary. So is the salary enough for you to take care of yourself or not? They don't consider that. Okay, the salary that you are earning, is this up to the sub or not? They don't consider that. So this, there is nobody that is saying this among the scholars. There is nobody that is saying this among the scholars. Those who are saying there is a count on salary, so the area that they are talking about is when you have money that is up to nisab after when you collect your salary, and the money that you get at the end of the month is up to, is more than the nisab. After then after that, maybe you've taken what should be enough for you. Then if what you still have left is up to nisab, then you pay the zakat. So, but as you said, this is an outrage position which is contrary to what Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, and those asar that they brought from some of the companions, those asar are not authentic, as they are what mutabi'ah. So maybe that of Muawiyah, or that of Abu Bakr, or some. So these are mutabi'ah, so that we cannot rely on to knock what the ummah have been upon. So Wallahu a'lam. So inshallah, we are going to stop here. So pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with what I've heard. May subhanahu wa ta'ala we preserve our lives till next halqah. May subhanahu wa ta'ala give us long life, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala make it good for us. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.